I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. Stay cool out there today. It's hot, hot, hot here in Houston. Seth Payne, how you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good. I'm going to take the split on the race for the silver boot and focus on the positives from the weekend,
yeah,
including the win yesterday where Yainer Diaz and Isak Paredes bailed the Astros out of another lackluster offensive performance.
Dude, it was so funny. I didn't get to see much of the game yesterday, just was busy doing some things. And when I was getting ready for the show last night, obviously I saw Isak Paredes' home run. Classic Isak, just finding a spot in the left field corner to tuck the ball into there. Classic pull hitter. But it was funny. I'm like, okay. And Amy and I were listening to the game as we were driving around running our errands yesterday and whatnot. But when I went and looked at the box score, I'm like, oh, the only guys that scored in this game were the guys that got on base. They got four hits, and those are the four guys that ended up scoring the runs in the game. They got a solo home run from Yainer Diaz, and then Jake and I forget who else, Cam Smith, each got a couple of base knocks. And then Paredes drives everybody in with a three-run homer. I'm like, yeah, so if you got on base for the Astros yesterday via a hit, you scored a run. I will tell you that
Cam ended up having four hits in this series. And, he's had a hit in at least five of his last six games, at least one hit in five of each of his last six games. So signs of growth there.
Yep.
There was, it was weird. It was, the Astros offense.
Opportunistic.
They had as many base runners as there were people at Jeep Weekend in Bolivar this weekend.
Yeah.
Where, they cracked down on Jeep Week, Sean.
Did they crack down on it? Because
They cracked down on Jeep Weekend. It sounds like basically if you showed up to Jeep Weekend, you were arrested.
That's what I was going to say.
275 arrests and the beaches are empty.
It's funny you say that. I was just in. I do a live sports report with Frito and Katie, who do the morning show on 100.3 The Bull, and I was just in there recording it with them, and they've got the news on in there, and the Jeep Weekend in Bolivar was the topic that happened to be on the news at the time, and they had all the, it was like a tale of the tape. It'd be like if you and I were watching SportsCenter and they had a bunch of stats on the screen.
Yeah.
And I just looked at the two of them. I said, I think they just put this same graphic up every year and just change the numbers for whatever the actual, because they had felony arrests, they had traffic violations, down like the left side of the screen, like a left side of the screen ticker almost. Almost 300 total arrests. Good job, Bolivar. Way to be efficient. If you were out there, you got arrested. That's efficiency right there.
The pictures, honestly, if they're not showing stock footage, all the pictures I saw this weekend, it was pretty much empty.
Yeah.
We'll have to go to our man on the street, Jackie Goss. Our man on the beach,
Jackie
Goss.
Oh, he's listening. Yeah.
Who has a place in. Does he still own that mobile home park in Bolivar?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I don't know if he wants that out there publicly.
I haven't kept track of his business.
That he does own one, yeah. I wonder if that was a hit for him this weekend. In a bad way.
So I would say, all things considered, considering how deep into yesterday's game it looked like they were going to lose 3 out of 4, and you're on the road, I'll take the split. I'll take the, especially when you have two games where the bats, you had two games where the bats were virtually silent in the first and third game of this series.
Yeah, and look, Lance McCullers in that game, I think that's, we had talked before that game exactly, okay, what happens to Lance after this game? What kind of a performance does he need for them to continue on? And I would say, it's weird, like, as emphatically as possible in a lackluster showing. That was real gross.
He's
over,
in.
Yeah. Over the first. Right. Yeah. I mean, we're still trying to figure out what Colton Gordon's doing.
Yeah.
Hayden Wisniewski, turns out he's got a Tommy John coming up. And you're still in the stretch of this 17-game series where Lance will probably get one more start. And or possibly might get another start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that was promising. I think that he's still trying to find his way. I mean, he ends up throwing he threw some four-seam fastballs, which I believe he hasn't thrown a single one of those in a game since 2018 or so.
Right.
So he's very much just trying to find out who he is as a pitcher. And if it hadn't been for – he might have gone five innings if it hadn't been for him and Jeremy Pena kind of botching the throw to second, where – as Chandler Rome put it, it looked like Lance's sinker to Jeremy Pena, but then Pena also, you expect him to still catch
it
at least. And that ends up, instead of being the end of the inning, he goes 17 more pitches after that. So him, you know, theoretically being in position to go five innings compared to him not being able to get out of the first inning, that was promising.
Yeah. No, Lance having high pitch counts is nothing new. But you're right. Like, if they make that play.
Yeah, he's inefficient as a – when he's in his prime, he's inefficient.
Led the league in walks a couple of – you know, a few years back. Like, this is just – this is him throwing 85 pitches in four innings. I could see that happening 2 months from now also. So that's not a major red flag other than this team needs its starters to go deeper into games than four innings right now. You know,
well,
that's,
and for Lance's sake, too, I think he's a guy, obviously, injuries have been kind of a thing for him. If he could reinvent himself as a more efficient pitcher, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just because I don't want him ever running his pitch count up that high.
No, right. And I saw the same article you did by Chandler. You know, like, these are things, like, as Lance gets back and acclimated to Major League Baseball again, you know, his finishing moves will get better. You know, the punch-out pitches will get better. You know, he'll end innings earlier. Like, you're right. You're absolutely – well, look, anything – if he got two outs, it's a step in the right direction compared to what his last outing was. So if you told me – I would have signed up for four innings, especially four innings with no earned runs given up. I would have easily signed up for that before that game on Friday night.
The most harrowing part of that game for me emotionally was when his pitch com wasn't working.
Yeah.
And you're realizing, oh, yeah – this is only the third time he's ever had to deal with a pitch clock, and he's up there, you know, nodding and shaking and everything, which that's where I was worried it might go haywire there, just because his process was going to be potentially so screwed up. But it was a lot of soft contact. Same with Framber yesterday. I mean, Framber gives up three runs, but in the fourth inning, it was a lot of relatively soft contact into gaps, and nothing that made you panic or anything. But he was opposite a pitcher who was throwing a no hitter through seven innings.
Yeah, and you got seven out of him yesterday, so that was good. I mean, they're right back at it this week. They've got the Tampa Bay Rays. They're right back at it tonight. So,
Sean, I know you had a Roku issue, so you couldn't watch the broadcast, or at least it was inconvenient for you.
Yeah.
So it was the combined booth. They had Dave Raymond, former Astros announcer.
I like Dave.
But now currently the TV announcer for the Rangers with Blum and Julia as the sideline reporter. And I thought it was pretty good, except I didn't like that Raymond was not mentioning the no-hitter. He was kind of alluding to the no-hitter.
Yeah.
And I just wanted him to just throw a hand grenade into the booth and just start talking nonstop about the no hitter.
Would have been good, except that Blum, he and Callis do that on the Astros broadcast. You know what I mean?
They do that thing
where they don't mention. I get what you're saying. Like, that, he would have been benefiting our team. I will tell you right now, we were listening to Amy and I were driving around while the no hitter was going on by Leiter. It was Leiter who was throwing the no hitter for the Rangers, and Robert Ford would not stop talking about no-hitters. He was bringing up the history of no-hitters with the Rangers. He was going deep on Kenny Rogers' perfect game back in 1994. He and Sparky would not stop talking about the no-hitters. I love
it. That's good. It's one of those, you know, it's classic things. There's a lot of things, times you do with mythology. It's like, well, I don't know really believe in this thing, but just in case, I'm just gonna go for it and talk about the no-hitter.
Espada got booted from the game yesterday. I didn't get to see that. He was arguing balls and strikes, huh?
He was arguing about, look, these umps the entire series were miserable. And it didn't help that Thursday night they were talking about how that particular crew was the best graded in all of baseball.
Oh,
and he sucked.
Yeah.
He sucked. But then yesterday, the strike zone was basically somewhere around the lower shin of the batter early in the game.
Yeah.
And it was hurting both teams' offenses, and yet it was very much helping out Fromber. Mm-hmm. Fromber got a couple of very generous strike calls low in the zone or low and out of the zone.
Yeah.
So Espada comes out and does his version of a flip out on the ump, or at least he got ejected, then came out and did his version of a flip out. And Dave Raymond brought it up. I think a lot of Astros fans were thinking the same thing. Hey, maybe this could have been maybe better spent earlier in the series, but right now, this is not helping Fromber. Yeah. And there were a couple. I was going to go and look at the Statcast and see how much the strike zone tightened up after that. It felt to me, as a biased Astros fan, that Fromber was getting a much tighter strike zone
after that, at
the bottom of the strike zone. There were a couple of pitches that were right on the edge that I feel like would have been strikes earlier on that were not. And I was not. I felt like it was a mistimed freak out.
The ump was like, "Hey, you wanted this, Espada. This is what you were arguing for. A tighter strike zone. Here you go. Now your guy's going to get it." So the other big news for the Astros. So they split with the Rangers. They're tied with the Rangers in the standings. They're 2.5 back of Seattle this morning. They're headed to Tampa Bay. The Astros are. Hayden Wisniewski is going to get Tommy John surgery. This is the fourth pitcher for the Astros. In the last 2 years, Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy 2 years ago, Christian Javier, of course, in the middle of last season. And these all come, that's the big thing, Seth. These all feel like they've come down at some point, like in May and June, when you've been planning on having these guys coming into the season as part of your rotation. And now you're out over your skis because, we were counting on Wisniewski being our fourth or fifth starter. Javier was a guy who'd thrown part of a no-hitter in the World Series. Garcia and Urquidy, guys who won double-digit games for you the year before. That, to me, it's not just that you're losing these guys for 12 to 14 months with Tommy John. These are injuries that are happening in season as you've made plans. And, by the way, as other pitchers have been injured as well with non-Tommy John. So we're still waiting for this bone of Spencer Arrigetti's to heal in his right hand still,
He's got a smaller cast on now.
Okay. So it's just like the wrist, maybe?
But it's a smaller cast.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's.
I'm just waiting for the report of a splint. He's upgraded to a splint.
Soon, just a Band-Aid. Yeah.
Here's the power rating of pitchers that you can hope to come back at some point soon.
Okay.
Christian Javier, he threw 15 pitches off the mound on May 9th. Okay. He's going to be built up slowly. Still expected back mid 2025.
Yeah.
Arrigetti. So those two guys, I think, are in a clump of sometime. In the next couple months or so.
Yeah.
Garcia, originally the report in early April was he was going to be shut down completely for a month. So I haven't seen any word of him doing baseball type stuff or anything. So I have no idea with Luis Garcia.
Yep.
And then J.P. France, whatever he is, whatever his existence is on this earth, I have no clue other than late 2025 is the expected potential return date.
I completely forgot about J.P. France, which is crazy. He won double-digit games for them a couple years ago. So I had forgotten about him. Javier and Arrigetti, I agree with where you put them in the power rankings. Very different for me in terms of what I'm counting on. None of these Tommy John guys I'm counting on. None of them.
Kiss, marry, kill. Arrigetti, Javier, Garcia. What do you do?
Arrigetti, Javier, Garcia. I hate to say this. I marry Arrigetti just because his injury is one that's very cookie cutter. That bone's going to heal. He's going to pitch. I marry him. Kiss Javier because it may or may not work out. It's Tommy John surgery. You don't know. But if it does work out,
at the right time.
Threw a no-hitter in the World Series. And sorry, Luis Garcia. You have a big setback like that? Sorry.
Yeah, it's triage. Yeah. I got to make decisions here. Sorry, I got to kill. You have to lay over on the side while we give everybody else medical
attention. It's not kiss, kiss, marry. It's not kiss, marry, marry. It's kiss, marry, kill. All right?
That's why the game's so difficult.
It's tough. It's tough because I love Luis Garcia. I love rocking the baby. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. We'll circle back to the Astros in headlines, talk more about what this Hayden Wisniewski Tommy John surgery means. It's the beginning of the week. There's no better way to brighten up the beginning of your week than some Will Anderson Jr. Will Anderson Jr. over the weekend, last week, had his little charity thing that he did and sat down with quite a bit of media, more of the audio trickling out, playing for D'Amico. And I'm curious to hear Will Anderson's take on this new-look offensive line for the Texans. Can he get you fired up for this offensive line for the Texans? We will have that for you coming up next.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Will Anderson was on various outlets last week talking about the Houston Texans. This one is from Football Night in America, their daily show on the NBC Sports Network that they have. It's Tony Dungy and somebody else.
Rodney Harrison.
Is it Rodney Harrison? Okay, yeah. They were talking to Will last week, and they asked him about what's it like playing for D'Amico Ryans.
I thank God all the time for the situation that he dropped me in, man. There's no other coach that I'd rather play for than him. I think he set a really great example of what he wanted this team to be, and he gave us a foundation to lean back on when, you know, either when things are not going our way or when things are going our way. Like the swarm mentality and the swarm, you know, foundation that he's built in, you know, the Houston Texans has really been special. But he's a player's coach. He gets it. He understands it, man. And he gets out there. He runs with us. He works out with us, man. And he's enthusiastic about when we make plays. He's jumping up and down with us. And I can tell he wants to put those shoulder pads back on and get out there with us again, man. But it's so easy to play for him because I understand his mindset of what he wants this team to be and the vision that he has for us and how much, you know, better he wants us to be and how much he sees us, you know, get into that level.
It's been that way from day one with Will. I remember when he got drafted here back in 2023 and he was doing the interviews right after he got drafted there in Kansas City, I think it was, where he and CJ got drafted. And he's like, that was the first visit I took. This is where I wanted to go. I didn't want to go anywhere else. And D'Amico was a lot of that, obviously. But it was at a time where, for Texan fans, they'd not heard a player say that in a long, long time.
Right,
you know,
right.
It was like, yeah. At a time, I'm like, you do?
Yeah. Like, I don't think we heard a single guy say, I came here because of David Culley.
Right.
There were no free agents. Who were like, I found out they hired David Culley, and I called my agent up, and I said, get me to Houston.
Get me to Houston, yes. Yeah, so that was that's good to see that 2 years in, that relationship still has the same the same zest to it.
I had a moment this weekend. It was when Aaron Wilson asked Will Anderson last week about, like, hey, you see all these guys getting extensions. Do you think about your future here, et cetera, et cetera? And we played the audio of the response from that. Will just gave a very good Will Anderson response.
Yeah.
But I did. There was a part where I started thinking, like, all right, all the rah-rah happiness about guys getting contract extensions and everything is all cool and everything, but like let's take the next step. Okay?
Yeah,
I don't. When Will Anderson gets his contract, I also want it to be after. Wow, man, the defense was really, really promising and good in a lot of ways last year, but they really took a huge step in 2025.
Yeah,
wow. CJ Stroud is he's entering a year where he might get an extension afterwards. Boy, they did everything that you'd want to see out of that guy. I don't want it to be some situation where nationally people are talking about it the way they've been talking about Brock Purdy or Tua Tagovailoa or something.
Right.
I want it to be like the Lamar Jackson. Well, I don't want it to play out like a Lamar Jackson situation, but I want it to be like where, yeah, okay, obviously this guy deserves a contract.
He deserves a contract, and the team is moving in the right direction as well.
Yes.
You know, I think that's the thing, and we'll talk about this in just a little bit, but I was going back through the odds this weekend that we went through. They put the spreads out on all the Texans games for 2025, and I don't want to get too far off base because we can get to that. They're clearly viewed by the gambling community and probably the power ranking community at large as a notch below where they were viewed coming into last season. And can't be the case next year.
And you can't get offended by it. I mean, sure, by all means, go ahead and get offended by it if you want.
Right.
But looking at it objectively, that was an underperforming offense. And they lost two of the best players on that underperforming offense, Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. You replace them with rookies. And it's just looking at it objectively, you can't really look at that offense and say, and they lost Laremy Tunsil too.
Yep.
Well, that's all right. They replaced the offensive lineman with a bunch of just blue collar type guys. And they also, they traded for Christian Kirk. There you go. Off to the races.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's appropriate. I genuinely feel that Nick Caley, even if he's a mediocre offensive coordinator, might end up being an upgrade over Bobby Slowick,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a credible rushing attack that can actually set up play action, etc., then they should be a much better offense this year. Even without being a great offense, I think they'll be a more competitive team.
Here's Will Anderson. Speaking of the offensive line, here's Will Anderson. Now this is on the NFL Network with Tom Pelissero. On the new look offensive line for the Texans.
I'm very excited, man. Those guys are a great group of guys, man. They love ball. They love attacking the day. And I'm just happy to, see the camaraderie on that side, man. I know they're going to do everything the right way, man. They love ball. And I can't wait that we get in the huddle before the game and either Titus or me or Tim, one of us going to give the pregame speech and we just get everybody hyped, man. And it just starts up front with the trenches and, it starts in practice competing and having fun going against each other.
Okay. A lot in there
about speech of Titus versus Will Anderson, power rank.
I'll go
top Will. Five positions, Will Anderson.
I'll go Will. Yeah, I'll go Will on the I don't maybe Titus is do we know Titus, I guess, a real good orator before games? Is he the guy that gets
he might be fired I don't know up? I can't remember seeing any. I'll have to go back and I'll have to binge some of those cinematic pieces that the Texans social media
really good
puts
stuff
out.
Yeah, Will I've seen doing it. Jimmy Ward when he's healthy out there doing it. I'm guessing C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to be a big pregame yelling at everybody and hyping everybody up guy. Yeah.
You know, Rodney Harrison asked Will some tough questions on Football Night in America. It wasn't just like a fluff interview. And one of the questions he asked him was about, hey, this offensive line, they lose three guys. What are you guys thinking in the locker room or whatever? And Will did a pretty good job of answering that and just saying, hey, this is whoever's out there, go whatever. And then Rodney Harrison just went in hard on the Texans defensive tackles.
Wow.
He's like, those guys were really the weakness on your defensive line. And then he said, and they went out and just they signed some guys to help you. And I'm like, Sheldon Rankin's from the outside, really. And then they re-signed other guys.
Yeah.
But I thought Will gave a good answer in response to that question.
Yeah, I have all the confidence in the world. I don't think there's any weak spots in our D-line, man. I think we're all alpha dogs. I think we all get out there and attack and cause havoc and disrupt. And we got my guy Sheldon Rankin's back. He was a great mentor for me my rookie year. I'm excited to be back with him. And we got Big Foley back.
Yep.
He was a big piece. We call him the big dog. And Tim Settle, Tommy, like Kurt, all those guys. And, I think our biggest thing is when we all play together, we all play as one sound. We can be one of the top defensive lines in the league, and we just have to keep, doing that and keep doing it consistently.
He said Kurt. Did he not? I hadn't caught that the first time. He said Tommy, Kurt, all those guys.
Oh, Kurt Heinisch, right?
Yeah.
Did Mario Edwards get a mention from him there? I didn't hear Mario Edwards' name.
I was trying to, I felt bad that he was going through the various guys.
Roll call.
Anyway, I think that the big thing is that if you look at it from 35,000 feet, you're not going to have all pros all over the place.
No.
And I think D'Amico would love to have a huge three-down defensive tackle that can stuff the run and also be a great pass rusher. but you're just not always going to have that. And it's not like that's the limiting factor in whether or not you can be a genuinely elite defense this year. Because they, by and large, the defensive line gets it done as a group and as a unit. I'm really more focused on the linebackers more than anything. Like, Henry Toa has made some nice improvements, but neither he nor Azeez Elshire are great in pass coverage. And Christian Harris wasn't great in pass coverage even when he made that huge leap 2 years ago in the second half of the season. And they struggle versus tight ends. I think that it's really a matter of, okay, how much does Henry Toa progress, and or is Christian Harris 100% healthy?
Yep.
And that's more of a concern point for me right now than anywhere else on the defense.
There's a texter noticing the same thing I did with Will's offensive line answer. A lot about how much they love Ball. And the texter says they love Ball as opposed to the guys last year, as opposed to being good at Ball. Now, I think that's probably a reference to Laremy Tunsil, I would guess.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's where Will was going, but that's what it felt like if you still acutely are agitated by how underperforming the offensive line was last year. And, you know, Will talked about how much the guys in that room right now love to get out there and play ball and practice and all those things. And Laremy just had, it didn't feel like practice was always his deal. You know, like, it's, that's not his favorite hobby. Practicing football. So.
No. He was a pro. Yeah. He was didn't do anything extra. Meanwhile, Will is gushing about how Danielle Hunter never stops working during practice.
Right.
They got some downtime. He's working hand drills and whatnot. Yeah.
I was going through the this weekend. I was going through trying to find, okay, which Texans games am I going to bet on here? And I've got my bet the farm favorite that the spreads are all out on these games. You can find a spread on any NFL game now that the schedule is out. But just kind of in going through the schedule and kind of how Vegas views the Texans right now, Seth, and I say Vegas, it's really the betting community that drives these lines. If the betting community decided Vegas was way off on a line, trust me, Vegas would move the line. I had thought the toughest stretch for the Texans was at 11 through 14, where they got the Chiefs and the Bills in that package there in primetime. I didn't realize the Texans right now are underdogs in four straight games in the early part of the season. They're underdogs in Baltimore, then they have a bye, then they're in Seattle, they're a small underdog on Monday Night Football, then they're underdogs at home back-to-back weeks to the Niners and the Denver Broncos, and which dovetailed into the other thing. I'm going, man, if you count the home field advantage as 3 points, so take out the home field advantage for whoever's at home, the Texans are not, like, there's, last year at this time, there was the question, are they as good as the Bills? Are they as good as the Chiefs? The spread on the Chiefs game this time a year ago was 3.5 in Kansas City. Like, they were viewed as a team that was on a neutral field, maybe a half point worse than the Chiefs. Now on a neutral field, they're viewed as a half point worse than the Rams, the Chargers, a point and a half worse than Tampa Bay. On a neutral field, they're viewed as more than a field goal underdog, 4.5 points to San Francisco and Denver. They're being talked about way more with the teams that are 10 through 16 in any conversation that they're a top 10 team right now.
No, and this is 100% because nobody respects the offense, and they shouldn't respect the offense until they prove otherwise. So I all of that, all of the preseason predictions from outside of Houston, Vegas, whatever they're saying about them, it all 100% makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Where they caught, they caught a little bit of a break in that first 5-game stretch before the bye week. And the Ravens are the only team there that was a top 10 defense by EPA, expected points added.
Yeah.
The Titans were a better defense than the statistics would suggest, but that's the fourth game. So they go through the Rams, really good defensive line, but they weren't a great defense last year. Then the Bucs, then the Jags. So then they hit two potentially really good defenses in games 4 and 5, but they've got at least a 3-game break-in period where, at least according to last year's results, it's not a gauntlet of tough defenses or
anything.
That's
good. That's good. Along those lines, my bet the farm pick for 2025 is one of the games you just mentioned. And I will mention that my bet the farm pick at this time last year was the game at New England in week 6, and they covered that by a healthy margin.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, I'm going with a bad football team with a rookie quarterback. You remember last year, that New England game, that was actually Drake May's first career start. Cam Ward, I think, will have played a few games already, but Texans -5.5 against the Titans at home in week 4 feels like stealing to me. Cam Ward's first taste of NRG Stadium as an opposing quarterback, that was a hard place for opposing quarterbacks to play. Ironically, one of the only ones that played decent was the guy Cam Ward is replacing in Will Levis. They won't, but that's another reason why I'm taking the Texans in that game, because I think they'll be hyper focused. They're not losing to the Titans 2 years in a row at home. So that's my bet the farm pick. -5.5. I think you get that under a touchdown right now. Rookie quarterback starting as he's in his first month as a rookie still, playing at NRG Stadium for the first time. You have a look on your face like you're not going to bet the farm, which is okay.
I'm having flashbacks to Vince Young in 2006,
yeah.
Which that Texans defense was not nearly as good as this Texans defense could potentially be.
Yeah.
But Vince Young on his way to a rookie of the year performance, that was in week 14 of that season.
The overtime game?
He scored. Overtime win, 19 for 29, 218 yards, zero touchdowns and one interception, but with some big scrambles in that game too. So, but the memory of Vince Young in his rookie year still haunts me.
I think a big thing there would be week 4 versus week 14. Like, it's still early. And I know you said maybe there can be an ambush factor early with rookies. It can go either way.
But the Texans defense in NRG Stadium is turning into a real issue, as long as you're not Lamar Jackson. If you're a quarterback going in NRG Stadium whose name isn't Lamar Jackson, then you should be a little bit nervous going in there.
As long as it's not a holiday, you know? Like, that was Christmas Day. You know, as long as it's not a holiday.
Is it Christmas Day, and are you, in fact, Lamar Jackson?
Right.
If you can't answer yes to those questions, then watch out.
And no. So take that, Titans.
The first three quarters, it's going to be hell for you until you win the game for them in the fourth quarter, right. Jared Goff.
yeah. all right, Payne and Pendergast, we'll get to headlines. A lot of Astros stuff to get to. We've got the conference finals. They're set in the NBA. We'll talk about that. Huge deal in the NFL as well, a quarterback deal. And we got to start keeping our eye on these things, because there's going to be a huge quarterback deal in this town probably in the next year or so. So we'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. The Astros split their four-game set with the Rangers this weekend. Could have been worse, man. They were getting no hit into the, fifth or sixth inning yesterday.
And
seventh inning. Okay, so they had a no-no going into the seventh. And then they cracked the code with against Leiter of the Rangers, and Yiner. God, I almost called him Yandy myself. Yiner Diaz with a solo home run, and then Isak Paredes with a 3-run homer, and the Astros fish it out of the fire. They went 4-3 yesterday. Framber Valdez really solid once again. One bad inning, gave up the 3 runs in the one inning. But the other 6 innings he pitched were spectacular.
They really were.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of soft contact and just hits into the gap in that fourth inning. So as annoying as it was, because Dave Raymond, who is a combined booth, the play-by-play announcer for the Rangers, asked Blum about Fromber's, tendency to melt down. He didn't say it quite like that. But Blum had to explain to him, like, no, it's
he's calmed down. Yeah,
it's no longer an issue.
It's all under control.
As he nervously looks side to side.
I know. It's fine. All right. It's all fine.
That was only the fourth victory the Astros have had after trailing in the sixth inning, which probably matches the feel or eyeball test or the gut test, whatever it might be.
I feel like they've all been within like the last 10 days. Like they've had some really clutch wins lately.
They're actually really good when tied after the sixth inning.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They've been very good when tied after the sixth inning, but when trailing after the sixth inning, hasn't been quite as good.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing, honestly, for me is that from this series is that, okay, I can work with this version of Lance as long as he keeps improving.
Yeah.
As long as he keeps stacking on improvements and he starts to figure out his pitch selection a little bit more, get the control reeled back in. Because even on some of his bad pitches, I'm still impressed with the movement on those bad pitches.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, Lance at his peak in his prime had an incredible curveball, and he could put some spin on it. So just rein it in a little bit, and we might have something.
He's going to be part of this rotation. I mean, just right now, it's non-negotiable. Like, he's going to be part of it because Spencer Arrighetti's still hurt. They just found out yesterday that Hayden Wisniewski is going to be getting Tommy John surgery. We had somebody point out on the text page a little bit early, and if you're just waking up and hearing that news, yes, yet another Astros pitcher midway through the season having to get Tommy John surgery. He joins Christian Javier from last year, Jose Urquidy, and Luis Garcia from 2 years ago. Urquidy, of course, not part of this organization anymore. So he's the fourth one in the last couple of years to require this. Somebody pointed out on the text page accurately that Jake Bloss, the former Astros farmhand who went to Toronto in the Kikuchi trade last year, he just found out last week that he needs Tommy John surgery. So they were kind of like, that's almost one where you got to put that one on the Astros organization. And I'm like, all right, well, if you're going to do that, then Wisniewski gets put on the Cubs organization. Because, you know, he's only been an Astro for like, 2 months. So it is at the very least, it is a strange coincidence. And I don't keep track of Tommy John surgeries across baseball, Seth, to know if this is at all normal. But this feels just freakish and weird.
It's been a bad stretch, and the stats are kind of all over the place. So I don't want to cite the stats. You know me and my statistics when I look them up on short service. It's more than average.
Yeah.
It's more than average right now.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
All right. So that's your Astros news. NBA playoffs. OKC just runs Denver off the floor. Boy, you and I were so excited for a game 7 on a Sunday afternoon. And OKC ends up just blowing the doors off of Denver in that game. Denver had an 11-point lead in the first quarter, but then OKC, they were up by 14, 16 at the half, up by 20 in the third quarter. So the conference finals are set. It's going to be Indiana and the Knicks. We'll talk more about this in Acknowledge Me. I've got a couple basketball-related acknowledgments. And then Minnesota and OKC. Just the nostalgia in me, Seth, likes the uniforms of the Pacers and the Knicks playing each other because those two franchises have had some classic playoff series against each other back in the day. The Red Deal, Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing days. I mean, it's some iconic playoff series. I think my big takeaway here as a Rockets fan, I'm still trying to figure out what the takeaway, like what are we to glean here from these teams being the ones that made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Three of the four teams, their major stars were guys that kind of they feel a little Jalen Green-like, and what I mean by that is there are a lot of Rocket fans that want to trade Jalen Green for whoever right now, for a big-name player. Jalen Brunson started his career in Dallas and left in free agency and has become a megastar in New York. Tyrese Halliburton is the star for the Pacers. He was traded to Indiana in the Sabonis trade and now has become a megastar. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably the most famous example, and I'm not saying Jalen Green's going to get to that level. He's going to win the MVP this year. But he and about a jillion first-round picks got sent to OKC for Paul George. So you're talking at least a couple of these guys, two or three of these guys were either, I don't want to say given up on by their teams, but they were viewed as expendable, and now they are the faces of teams in the conference finals. Minnesota, the face of their franchise is Anthony Edwards. He was a first overall pick. But it's just interesting that the four faces of these conference finals, three of them are guys who are young players on their second teams right now. Brunson, Halliburton, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, all the scenarios that keep getting floated out, and the big one this weekend that was being tossed around was some package that would include Şengün for Giannis.
Yeah.
And you know, people obviously have their feelings about that one. I feel like a lot of these reports about these potential trade packages right now, when you dig into the articles, are still just speculation and theoreticals and whatnot. I think that the Rockets team is definitely much more emotionally not emotionally attached. They just genuinely believe in those young 22-year-olds way more than in the NBA media at large. So I'm growing increasingly skeptical that there's a Giannis. I feel like I don't think Şengün's untouchable. I think they're much more reluctant to part with him than people are speculating.
They're not a leaky organization to the Rockets.
Right.
They're a lot like the Texans that way. There's not a lot that they put out there. So I'm curious. I saw the same report you did about the Rockets are open to moving Şengün in this trade. I'm like, all right, well, I do wonder where that's coming from. All right, big contract in the NFL, Seth. This is one you and I have spent quite a bit of time speculating and talking about. Brock Purdy gets 5 years, $265 million, $181 million guaranteed from the San Francisco 49ers. So he gets fifth average annual value. This is the most consumable way to calculate this thing. $53 million a year. So not quite at the Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love level. He's at the Tua level. Dak is on his own planet right now because the Cowboys botched that whole thing. But so Dak's at $60 million. Dak's the only one at $60 million right now. 55 is the next, and then Brock Purdy is at 53 with Tua Tagovailoa.
I think, I don't know, I might, depending on how the actual guarantees work out and everything, it might be a better deal than Jordan Love's, but just that category of Jordan Love / Tua Tagovailoa, to a certain degree, Jared Goff and how they handled his contract of deals that were done in 2024. Yeah, it's in that bucket of not premier, top of the market, more than anybody else has ever made, et cetera, et cetera. Makes me feel better about, I feel like the Jaguars really stretched on Trevor Lawrence more so. They were paying Trevor Lawrence based on his pre-draft buzz still. That they really should have been able to, it's not going to break the organization, it's a lot of money regardless, but Trevor Lawrence got way more credit for that one stretch he had 3 years ago at the end of the season than any other thing he's done.
I think you nailed it. He's getting more credit for being a number one overall pick that's not horrible than he is for anything that he's accomplished in his career so far. He's the worst. He, as of right now, is the worst contract out of that $53+ million group. His is worse than Dak's. Dak at least was an MVP runner-up a couple years ago. Won a couple of playoff games. Trevor Lawrence won one playoff game, and he has been the quarterback for a team that in two of his four seasons has been picking in the top five in the draft.
Brock Purdy's contract, in terms of practical guarantee, which is how much money you make in the first few years of the contract, where like they're not going to get cut because it's dumb.
Yeah,
that it is better than Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa's, but it's with 1 year of inflation and all that, it's about the same bucket.
Got a no trade clause? How about that? No trade clause.
Good job, Deshaun Watson. Set that precedent, baby.
Rockaroo. Yeah. All right. So there you go. Those are your headlines for today. All right. I had not heard this trade from back in 2013 that never came to pass with the Astros. Can you imagine the Astros over the last 10 years without Jose Altuve? This is pretty wild. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll do Acknowledge Me at 7:20, and that's all coming up next. Stay there.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.